Right. And the rest of us, three of us, no, there's a couple others. Morning. We'll be in Second Corinthians chapter 1. preaching last Sunday. I missed being here, of course, and Brother Chad did a fantastic job, as he always does. But I did have time to pray extra and just seek the Lord about the preaching exercises that we're doing. I feel confident that the Lord had led us to 2 Corinthians. I just wasn't confident that God wanted us to do it on Sunday mornings. And I can't really explain why. I knew we needed to be in 2 Corinthians. I just didn't have a lot of peace about where. Good to see you, Brother Toby. I didn't see you come in, so it's good to see you. Brother Eric, good to see you too. So anyway, I felt that the Lord had led that we would move Sunday school, 2 Corinthians, and Sunday morning, Ruth. And so our message this Sunday morning will be in the book of Ruth, and we'll complete the book of Ruth on our Sunday morning service, just the main worship service. And we'll go through the book of 2 Corinthians right here in our Sunday school hour. And so for now, this is the way I believe the Lord had us to make that change. And leading into today, I feel peace that we've done what God wants. So we'll just keep doing that. Amen. When you do what God wants, you're on the right path. All right. So we're going to read in verse 12 of chapter 1, and we'll read all the way to the end of the chapter. So just remain seated. We'll read 12 to 24. And we'll deal with the topic this morning. Sometimes helping is deciding not to help. And so we'll see that Paul here decided not to come to the Corinthians to help them, and that actually helped them. So it's an interesting, almost feels paradoxical, but it was a good thing that he didn't come. And so let's see that. Verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you ward. So what he's saying there is that in godly sincerity, and I like that, we should do things in sincerity, shouldn't we? We should always be honest. But I believe that we should always be sincere. I feel that sincerity is just another way of saying this is an honest person. They're sincere. Or genuine. They're a genuine person. I think we should all be genuine. You know, I feel that often when we're either dealing with our kids or dealing with somebody and we sense that maybe there's not a genuine sort of feeling there. It's frustrating. But sometimes I think if we're honest, we can lack that genuine sincerity at times. You know, you say, well, I never do that, Pastor. Well, I mean, have you ever come to church and frankly, you just have a stinking attitude. I mean, your attitude stinks. But then when somebody says, how are you doing? You're like, I'm doing great. Well, that's not genuine, you see. Well, and sometimes it might not be the best thing for you to say. Well, just let me just tell you how it's going, you know. I think the point that I'm trying to make here is that being sincere is an important thing. And Paul is saying, listen, I had sincerity and I really wanted what's best for you. Abundantly to you, word. Last part of verse 12. Verse 13. We write none other thing unto you than what ye read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end. In other words, we're not gossiping about you. We're not saying one thing to you and then gossiping something else about you. Verse 14. As also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing. I love that how he said that. You have acknowledged us in part. So in other words, you've kind of rejoiced about us. You're still not all the way for sure about us. By the way, the Corinthians were frustrated with Paul and with what he's dealing with in this chapter. Part of the reason they're frustrated him is what we're going to read about, you see. But they said, in part, we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before, that ye might have a second benefit. So that was his desire, to come to them. And to pass by you unto Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, that was my desire to come to you, did I use lightness? Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? In other words, am I deciding to come to you or deciding not to come to you, saying this and then not doing it, saying yes, but then turning around and saying no? Am I living on a whim? Am I just, you know how the movies say, follow your heart, right? That's dangerous, because your heart today might say one thing, your heart tomorrow says something else. You're going to be all over the place doing that. Well, that's what Paul's saying he doesn't do. I'm not yay, yay, and then tomorrow, nay, nay. I don't do that. I don't operate like that. Verse 18. But as God is true, and I love that. That's an underlinable statement there. As God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me, and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. In other words, we just had one message. We weren't all over the place and inconsistent with it. And by the way, who was the author of Paul's message? Jesus Christ. It was God. Very important thing there. Look at verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. And that, by the way, verse 23, is a key note to why he's dealing with them in the way he is. He wanted to come to them. And they obviously expected him to come to them. And he said that he didn't come. But why? Verse 24. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith ye stand. So Paul said this. For me not to come to you actually was good for you. Because when I decided in obedience to God not to come, I became a helper of your joy. Well, that seems opposite. It seems like you would be a helper of their joy by going to them. But he said, no. I actually, in obedience to God, became a helper of your joy to not come, because it's by your faith that you stand. So they were learning to stand on their own faith and not Paul's. It's a brilliant, brilliant writing here. I'll tell you, Corinthians, though, to study this and figure out what he's saying, it's work, but it's worth it once you get to the bottom line. And today, I don't have a long lesson, so we spent a little extra time explaining through here, but I think it's rich and helpful, and the thought tonight or this morning is sometimes helping is deciding not to help. So let's pray. Father, I pray your blessings on the lesson. I pray your touch in everything that's said and done. I pray your help, Lord, as we try to navigate through this passage and understand everything you would have us to understand and to be touched by everything you would have us to be touched by today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, you don't have to be a Bible student very long to know that the Corinthians had a lot of problems. They were a rebellious group of people. In fact, one writer said, the wayward Corinthians were still the children of their age. And the children of their age, if you understood much about Corinth, was loaded with debauchery. It was really just an awful place. And what was prevalent in the day was false teachers. False teachers would corrupt the good work of God, or at least attempt to corrupt the good work of God. And so you might find that, and by the way, amongst all of the false teachings and all of the issues that were being dealt with in the church as it relates to the world infiltrating the church and the world just sort of taking things over. And you can learn more about that studying 1 Corinthians, because there was an awful mess that was happening inside the church. But also, the church was dividing. There was a schism that was taking place in the church where, also we see this in chapter, or in the 1 Corinthians, where there were groups who were segregating because they were followers of this particular apostle, and others were followers of this particular apostle, and others that were pious and holy, holier than thou, they said, well, we don't follow any man. So they didn't let anyone be their pastor. We just follow Jesus, you see. And so there was this division in the church on top of all of the evil things that were going around from the world coming into the church. And then also that third level where you had the false teachings that were going around. So there was a lot of problems that Paul needed to deal with. Can I say that that wasn't the only issues that he was dealing with? They also didn't trust him completely as the man of God. Even in the passage we read, they said, we in part. In other words, we have we see you as an authority, Paul, in part. We trust you in part. So there was that kind of issue there. The church was broken down. I mean, they had some issues. It's sort of like a car when you take it into the shop. Or Brother Tim, you know, he sees a car come in. It has those straps holding it together. What are those? Zip ties. They have zip ties holding it together. Duct tape. There's duct tape all around it, you know? And that thing comes in, it's like, and smoke's coming out from under the hood. And then whenever they turn it off, it goes off like a shotgun. And everybody in the shop just sort of like, oh, you know, checking this, they got, you know, what happened. So that was the church. There was a lot of issues that needed to be worked on. And that's what Paul is wanting to do. He wants to help them. His desire is to help them. He wants to help them overcome the issues that they're having. And so they know that they have issues. Like if that's the state of the church, and I know that it was sort of an analogy that maybe doesn't fit completely, but you understand, the church was broken down, needed help. And if that's the state of the church, and your best help would be that the man of God would come, Paul, and be there and sort of help get you through these issues, then you would not only desire that, you would expect it. You would expect that help. And so the Corinthians undoubtedly had an expectation that Paul would come and help them get through these issues that they were having. And so when in verse 23, look what it says, moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. So they were expecting him to come, and he didn't come. And so there would have been a kind of disappointment there. They would have wondered, why aren't you coming? We're going through these struggles, and you're not here. Why don't you care enough to come? Is it true that you just don't care? That you don't have a love for us? that you don't have a compassion or a concern about the direction that we're going? Why aren't you coming? Why aren't you here? Can I say that sometimes it is true that in our life we are going through hard things or we're going through a struggle, and in those times our expectations are raised a little bit, and the people who we discern that they can be the ones who can help us. We're the ones that are going through the hard thing. These are the people that can help us. And if they really cared, then they would help. But the problem with that for the Corinthians in this case was that Paul really did love them. He really wanted to help them. And in fact, he really wanted to go and be with them. The problem was, if we can call it a problem, is that God had a different plan. God didn't want him to go. God didn't want him to be with them in that time. And I think that it's good for us to know that when we're going through hard things and we have higher expectations, that God, and we have with these expectations a desire to see certain things happen in a certain order by certain people, that when those things don't happen in the order or by the people we expect them to happen from, that it doesn't mean, watch, it doesn't mean that God has A, lost control, or B, that the one who we're expecting to help or step up in those times have failed. They have failed either us or stepped away from God themselves. Now, I can honestly say, I think we can all agree that it doesn't always mean that somebody hasn't failed because they didn't meet an expectation. Perhaps they have. But in this case, we can for sure say Paul sincerely wanted the best for the Corinthians. In fact, he said it. Look at verse 15. In confidence, I love that word confidence, because Paul didn't want them to wonder about his love for them. He didn't want them to be concerned about his sincerity. He said, in confidence, I was minded to come unto you, that you might have a second benefit. I love that word benefit, because it really speaks to the blessing that he wanted to come to the Corinthians. He wanted them to be blessed. He wanted them to be benefited. If him coming would benefit them, he wanted that. I think that it's important to see that. But he didn't come, but here's why, verse 18. But as God is true. Now that we'll just stop there, because really that's what dictated Paul's plans. That right there, as God is true, is what changed his plans. He was minded to come to them. He thought in coming he could be a benefit to them. They obviously thought the same thing. And with all of this, you know, being in his heart, he didn't come, but here's why. God stepped in and changed his plans. And so in verse 23, he said, I came not. I came not. Paul's plans changed, but it was God that changed them. So guess what that means? When God changed his plans, that means it's okay. Did you know that it's okay for God to change your plans? That's okay, isn't it? It's okay when God changes your plans. You say, well, I had this all planned out. I had this all sort of figured out, and I had this expectation, and I thought it would go this certain way, and God changed it. That's okay when God does that. Paul did not make plans for fleshly reasons. By the way, I think that when we're not living by faith and we're making plans because of our own flesh, then when God changes our plans, we get frustrated about it because we wanted it to go a certain way because we had a certain either expectation or we had a fleshly motive. Paul said, I had neither of those. So when God changed his plans, Paul just went with God. And it wasn't necessarily hard for him. Although he was minded and he wanted them to be benefited, he trusted God more. This seemed like maybe it would be a good move, but this was better. Why? Because God did this. This was me. This is God. My way will lead what I think a benefit. He even said the word benefit. Me coming could be a benefit. God had different plans. I'm going to go with God's plans. Can I say that we're always wise to do that? Even whenever we're convinced that the way we think is a better benefit, God's plan is better. His plan is better. Well, that's what Paul decided. Well, let me show you that. Verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, and the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom. So what Paul is saying here is that as he's navigating through this, he has a rejoicing. And I think the last part of verse 12, he says, for them. Let me see here. Yeah, abundantly to you word. So the first part of verse 12, our rejoicing, the last part of verse 12, abundantly to you word. That's what he wanted them to get. I rejoice abundantly to you. So it's not like I didn't come because, woo, I just didn't want to be around you. Well, that wasn't his spirit. You know, why weren't you here last week, Pastor? I was sick. We were sick. Are you sure about that? You just didn't want to be around us. No, it's not the case. Well, that's sort of like Paul. Paul wasn't sick, but it wasn't that he didn't want to be around them. He wanted to be there. But God changed his plan. And he's going to follow God. Why? Because he doesn't operate it according. He doesn't make plans according to the flesh. That's what he says. Not fleshly wisdom. Not with flesh. Wouldn't it be nice if we could all say that? Wouldn't it be nice if you could say, you know, I don't make plans according to my fleshly wisdom. I just make plans according to God. Well, we're not there yet, but we're sure trying, aren't we? Well, that was Paul. He wanted to follow God. By the way, when God gives instructions and it's absolutely clear, and he does that, doesn't he, sometimes? Sometimes you wonder, what does God want me to do? Well, do get counsel and do the path that you think God wants you to do, but sometimes it's not I think. Sometimes I know what God wants me to do. Well, what should you say whenever you know God wants you to do it? Verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, what's that next word? Amen. You should say amen. When God says or changes plans and God gives instructions and you know God wants you to do it, you don't have a wonder about it. Well, we need to get some counsel from pastor, you know, or we need to talk to Brother Chad or Miss Melissa, or we need to really study the Bible, or we need to pray more about this, you know. Although all of those things are good, when you know what God wants you to do, here's what you need to say. Amen. You just need to say amen. That's what Paul said. He says, I'm not going to say yay and nay. That's what he said there. I'm not going to say yes and no. I'm just going to say amen. God, if that's what you want me to do, then I'm going to follow you. I'm going to let you navigate this thing for me. I'm just going to follow your path, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not. He probably had this memorized too, you know. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And when he does, say amen. I just added that last part. Because that's what Paul said. He said, I said amen, because God's leading. This is like when God leads us to give a tract or to give an offering. You know, we went to the church planting conference a couple of weeks ago, and tonight we'll share where we gave the money and how it went. I'm looking forward to it tonight. But, you know, there was 80 church planters there. 80. And there were hundreds of pastors that were giving money. You know, and these guys would stand up. Now, listen, 80. I had $1,250. $250 extra dollars. We budget $1,000 to give away. Okay? And 250 extra dollars came in to give away. And guess how much we gave away? Every penny. And I wanted to give more. If I'd have been there more, we probably would have, just tried to figure it out. But I can't give $100 to 80 church planters. Although I want to. I can't, you know, if I divided $1,250 by 80, don't do the math. But, you know, not very much money is going to each one. So we could do that, but what does God want us to do? That's what we need to know. And so I'm sitting there, I'm listening to a testimony, and I'm just asking God, do you want us to give? And I just feel good about this one. I have peace about it. I stand up and I give either 50 or 100 bucks. And we did that. But we couldn't give to everybody. Well, it's sort of like when God is leading and you know God wants you to do something, then you stand and you say amen. You say yes to the Lord. We need to learn to say amen as God leads us. The reason why is because it's important for that to happen, because it puts us on God's path. But let me say that this also is important because other people see. I know I wasn't planning on coming down here, but I'm getting a little excited here. Other people see when we live an amen kind of life, don't they? They see that. So our influence is great for God when we're an amen Christian, when we follow God. By the way, when you are in church, especially men, when you're in church and you hear something that is a blessing and God's touched you, we should learn to say amen. Now, I'm not saying that we need to get distracting with it and say amen to everything, but there's a reason to say amen, verbalizing it, you know, in church. Why? Because what it does is it makes the message have a greater influence in the people who are hearing it. When the pastor says it, there's people who say, well, you know, that's just the pastor. But if you say amen, Brother Steve, then our guest over here or our church family or somebody who's really wondering about that message, they know the pastor believes it because he's preaching it, but they also know you believe it. Because now I preached it and so did you. Well, what if I make a point that's just a really strong point that's an amenable point and five or six guys say amen? Do you know what somebody in the church who needed to hear that and are wondering about it in their own life? They're going to hear that message from the pastor, but they're also going to hear it from about six or seven men who say, yes, amen to that, you see? And it makes a difference in the influence. So amening it's an important thing. Paul changed his plans, and it meant that he would not be personally helping the Corinthians. And that was what the amen meant for him. He wasn't going to be there, but it was for a good reason, and here's why. Look at verse 23. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth. Not for that we have dominion over your faith. I didn't come because I'm messing with you. I didn't come because I wanted to hinder you or have some kind of a control over your faith. He says, I wanted to be a helper of your joy. Why? Because by faith ye stand. That's what he said. And so Paul understood that God was changing his plans. This would have meant that had he went to Corinth, it would have caused more problems than it would have helped. He wanted to help. But at this point, in this instance, the most help that Paul could be to them was not to go. So in other words, not helping was the best help that he could be because he would become a helper of their joy. Well, that's true in our lives too. Sometimes God wants us to stop trying to help. Maybe we've been giving money to someone and paying their way and helping them. And God wants to change your plans with that. Is it always true that God wants to change our plans? Not always. But we need to be willing to let God change our plans if we've been trying to help. And God says, I don't want you to do that. I want you to move and do something else. Then we need to be willing to say, I'm going to follow God with this. Maybe you have filled the gap for them. You've filled in for them. They have not been faithful to something, and you've taken care of it for them, and you've been doing that. And God says, I don't want you to do that. Maybe you've been a sounding board for them. You know, sometimes being a sounding board for somebody can be a help. Did you know that sometimes being a sounding board for somebody isn't going to help? Or in fact, it hurts them more than it helps them? Did you know that it can hurt somebody more than it helps them to not tell them what they need to hear rather than telling them what they want to hear? Just being a sounding board and letting air all their grievance and tell them what, just make them feel good because you don't want to hurt their feelings instead of telling them what they need to hear. Sometimes God wants us to change our plans. In these instances, we need to listen to God. If God is leading and we won't listen, then what we're doing to try to help them actually will make it worse for them. Why? Because they can't stand on their own faith. If God's leading you away and you stay, then how can that help them? You see, they can't stay or stand on their own faith because they're sort of using you. God can't work in their faith when this is the case. So we need to let God change our plans sometimes, don't we? Well, this is not always easy to do, though. And Paul is, I think, agreeing with that statement because he wanted desperately to come. They felt the best benefit for them is for me to come. They thought the best benefit for us is for you to come. God was the only one who said no. The best benefit for them is for you not to go. Paul understood that it was true because in that time, he would then become a helper of their joy because they would learn to stand on their own faith and not Paul's. So like when parents bail their children out of jail or give them money to fuel their addictions to drugs or alcohol, does that happen? Of course it does. Or keep telling them what they want to hear, as we mentioned just a minute ago, to keep them happy instead of telling them what they need to hear, because we're afraid that they'll be offended and leave. I know parents in the past that were in our youth group who would not tell their kids how to change their dress code. They would not tell their kids that their music that they're listening to needs to stop because they were afraid that they're going to offend their child and lose their child. And I told them, if you don't stop your kids and change and navigate, help to direct them to God, you've already lost them. And they did. Thinking that we're helping our kids sometimes, or not just our kids, but helping somebody, can become at times a more of a hindrance for them than a help to them. I think that it can be true sometimes that parents overprotect their kids too. Why do we protect our kids, overprotect our kids sometimes? Well, we want to protect them, right? But at times, they can't grow in their faith because we won't allow them to, you see. How do we navigate through that? God is true. You know, if you don't have peace about it, then don't take steps. But take steps of faith. If God's leading, you know, then make that change. Paul trusted that not coming was the best for the Corinthians at the time, no matter what they thought. And so maybe it's time for us to stop propping people up sometimes. It's time to do as the Lord leads and stop feeding addictions or prideful egos or overprotecting at times. Sometimes this needs to be the case. And if we do, then what will happen? And you have to understand this is true in that time, that we will actually become a helper of their joy. If you're following God and you're stepping away and just putting them in God's hands, that's the best thing you could do. And when we trust God to decide and decide not to help in those times, we do this because we want them to trust God. And we trust God. And we love God. And we know that God's going to work in them. When my kids were learning to tie their shoes, you know, they would get down and they would start the process, you know, even though we showed them how to do it, right? Have you ever tried to watch a child tie a shoe that's trying to figure it out? Of course you have. Is it not agonizing to not jump in there and say, no, come on, go the other way? You know, I mean, that's the dad coming out in me. Moms are way more gracious probably. You just want to, let me do it. Stop, let me do it. But that doesn't help them, does it? You have to let them do it. You have to let them do it themselves. Because if you do it for them the whole time, they're never going to learn how to do it. Well, in a way, that's what Paul's saying here. I had to step away, church. Because you can't lean on me at this point. What you need is your faith to grow. And for me not to come, Paul says, is to become a helper of your joy. Because when you learn to stand on your own faith, then you're going to have a real kind of joy. And that's what I want for you. So it might be time for us to, in certain cases, not all cases, you understand, we need to navigate as the Lord would lead. I'm certainly not saying throw your kids out to the wolves. Figure it out. That's what my dad did, you know. Well, that's not what I'm saying. But as the Lord would lead, it might be that there are times when we've been trying to help, and God says, you need to stop. Because they need to do this themselves. And when God does it, you can trust Him. And it's not easy, but it's the best thing. We're done. I told you we'd be done early. So let me pray, and we'll just hang out in here and give our classes plenty of time to finish their lessons, okay? Father, I pray your blessings on the remainder of the day. I pray your blessings on the other classes as they finish up their lessons. And as we finish up our lesson here, I pray your blessings. Just help us to trust you enough to know that stepping away sometimes is the right thing, because in those times, as you're leading, we become a helper of joy in the life of others as they grow in their faith. Help us to have that kind of confidence in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.